On this episode, we have owner of Rough and Ready Media, Michelle Green.
Leaving your dream job to start your own business.
And the glory of the geek and sundry.
This episode is brought to you by RiseUpTabletop.com. Do you feel it? The chain tying you to your desk and chair? Isn't it time for a change? Isn't it time to free yourself? Fuck! Time to give yourself a choice to sit, to stand, to move, to work freely. That time is now. Free yourself with a Rise Up tabletop, an affordable, lightweight, standing desk with built-in handle designed to move with you. The Rise Up tabletop is available for $189 and includes free shipping. Break the chain, free yourself, rise up. Order online now at RiseUpTabletop.com. That's RiseUpTabletop.com. Bitch.
Thunder. 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 Thunder.
Welcome to the Thunder Nerds, where we're yours until we're dead, until you find someone better. Would you like to know more? My name is now and forever JD Rat.
I'm Eric San Seven Shin.
And I am Frederick Philip Von Weiss, and you are listening to the Thunder Nerds, a design and developer discussion for all levels in the industry that love what they do and do web good.
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 Good. So what was that? Okay. I didn't catch your reference.
That's from Starship Troopers.
Nice moves. Where'd you learn how to do that, soldier?
Back in school, sir. Don't you remember? I was captain of the team.
Rico.
Sir.
I need a corporal. You're it until you're dead, or till I find somebody better.
Oh, I love that movie.
Thank you, sir.
I'm probably one of the people though that didn't see it enough, but yeah, that was a good movie.
Well, it fits because the troop, it was, I can't remember the first guy's name, but it was like Rycheck or Rycheck's Roughnecks, and then it became Rico's Roughnecks, and then we've got somebody from Rough and Ready, you know? It's a play on words.
Rough,
sir.
And Ready, yeah. Uh-huh. We have a guest today, which is the owner of Rough and Ready Media, Michelle Green. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. I would like to let everybody know too that's important. It was very hard for me to not do a World Goth Day reference today. Our pre-show craft talk made me feel good. So
it's World Goth Day. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
It sure is. Get your unhappy meals, friends.
I should have knew that. Man, I hope my goth card doesn't get revoked.
Yeah, I know. Mine's intact.
Well, yeah.
Okay. You're allowed to forget it and then self-loathe, because that's a part of it.
Oh, good point, yeah.
So, it's okay. You know, just metaphorically flip your hair in front of your face and just say, you don't know my pain.
I think those would sell pretty well, though. I mean, you know, call them melancholy meals, you know?
Melancholy's a little too committed.
Yeah, that's too much. You just gotta be kind of sad. I'm sad you get
this. Yeah, you don't even know. I can't even put words to how sad I am. Like that's tough, basically, man. Like I have a trust fund in black lipstick. Here we go.
So speaking of Goth Day, I guess. Michelle, again, thanks for coming on the show today. You have a very interesting full past and present as well, talking about your business and from whence you came. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself, get a little bit of history about where you grew up and how you got to Florida?
I grew up in Stockton, California, which is about an hour away from Sacramento and an hour away from San Francisco. It's a very crime heavy town. And I went from there to Fresno State, which is about 2 hours away from Stockton, and it's in the armpit of California. I was a mass communication journalism major, so I was into newspapers and being able to tell stories visually through newspapers. So from college, I kind of worked my way up through the newspaper industry because that was what I fell in love with, I'd love to do. I worked at a small newspaper in Madeira, and I did everything from shooting photos to building ads to, we did everything but deliver the newspaper. And then slowly I moved my way up to the Record, so I moved back home for a little bit in Stockton and worked as a page designer. And so we worked on the entertainment and feature sections, coming up with story ideas and doing photo shoots and so forth to tell those stories visually. And I was working there for probably about a year and a half, and the Herald Tribune found my design portfolio online. And they had an opening down here. They gave me a call and flew me out from California out to Sarasota, which is a completely different environment. You know, yeah, just slightly. You know, you come into this beautiful sunny beaches. You know, it's very clean here. You don't have a very heavy crime issue. You know, now we're starting to see
the old people are pretty slow. They're easy to catch.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it was a whole.
Did you use the number on that walker?
Yeah, it was like going into paradise a little bit when I landed, and they put me up in a hotel on the beach, and of course, you know, I was sold from that point on. I did.
That's what we call honey dicking.
Pretty much is what I totally got duped.
Yeah.
And then a little bit, so I interviewed with the Herald Tribune, and a few months later they hired me. And so I packed everything up in my little car, and if it didn't fit, it didn't come with me. So, and I drove out here to Florida not knowing anybody, and starting at the Herald Tribune, which was owned by the New York Times at the time, and was a large newspaper for me to go to, and it was a good step up in my newspaper career. So that's kind of how I ended up in Sarasota.
So that was everything that you were working up to really manifested in you grabbing your Toyota Celica and coming to Sarasota, Florida.
Toyota Celica with 6-speed manual transmission, 16-inch alloy wheels, cockpit-like interior, and an explosive VVTLI engine. One drive, and everything else seems slow.
Pretty much it's that, you know, you don't want to stay in your hometown. Who wants to, you know, a lot of people, well, at least I didn't want to stay in my hometown, and getting the opportunity to leave and to move up in my career into hopefully a step, you know, further to the New York Times or the Journal or Boston Globe at the time. So it was a big thing for me to come out here and kind of do it on my own a little bit, to not know anybody out here and to pursue what at that time was like my dream job kind of thing. So it was a interesting time.
Yeah, I bet. What kind of cool things did you get to do there at the paper?
I started off as a feature page designer. So we laid out the feature section. We also did the entertainment. So we did ticket. When I came, we started doing, we would go out to the Sarasota Film Festival and do videos and do podcasts from them live and stream them on the web. We were designers, and that was something different because usually the reporters are the one that get to go out and talk to the public. They shove us in a corner in the dark room, and, you know, we put together the paper. So it was kind of nice to kind of get out there into the community and do some of that kind of stuff. You know, it was just random projects that would come up or story ideas. We could talk about anything that you were interested in, get a reporter involved, and then be able to do photo shoots or package graphics together in a presentable way. Another project we did was Superman. When Superman first came out, the very, very first remake of Superman, the really bad one that no one watched. we, as visual artists, don't get a whole lot of freedom in the newspaper. So, and I had some really talented artists on staff. So we ended up partnering with the marketing department and created a puzzle piece. Each illustrator took a piece of Superman, illustrated it in their style, and then we put it in the paper as a collector thing every day. And if you collected all six pieces, you could win a prize. I think it was a big screen TV and that kind of stuff. So it was a way for the artist to kind of showcase their artwork and to bring in revenue for the paper. They ended up making a really substantial amount of money on it. And they saw higher sales on those days that our artwork came out. So that was a really fun project to do. And we got to work with different departments during that time.
Are you somebody that also does page layout? Are you into the Adobe Suite, or are you more organizing people?
No, I do all, I do everything. I'm the jack of all trades. So I know all the Adobe Suite. I am a designer, a layout person. I also do the art direction, and then I worked my way up to managing a team of people. So worked my way up to being the managing editor over visuals for the Herald Tribune. So I ran the design department, the copy desk, the graphic the graphic artist who put infographics together, the TV, the magazines, new product development. So I kind of had my hands in everything. So I learned a lot about different things and was able to put that together. So I'm a very hands-on. I'll sit down and knock out a paper. When I started at the Madero Tribune, I was doing about 32 pages a night, all blank pages that would come through broadsheet, and we'd have to lay them out, design them, and get them out the door within so many hours. So you're doing a lot of creative work on the fly. You know, news breaks, you got to come up with a way to tell that story and put it together visually within a matter of hours. And the thing about the Tribune is they have different zones. So you are remaking the front page within an hour of each other of shipping out different front pages for different areas. So it's, you know, you learn a lot about deadlines and pressure and having, there'd be times I would lay out the front page of the paper, which is one of the more important pages, that you'll have five or six editors standing behind you telling you what you need to do, or, no, I don't like that. You got to change this. You should do this. And you have to process all of that while you're on deadline and putting out a paper. So that really geared me up for starting my own business.
It's basically you're going through the trenches. You're really getting a good education on how to, one, take criticism, be positive with it, and do something constructive. And then also you have all these other skills that you've mastered as well, as far as actually designing what you're doing and delegating responsibility for other people to design too.
Yeah, that's always the difficult part, is letting it go, to delegate. I had to really learn about that, because I have a tendency of, oh, I can knock it out in 15 minutes, so let me go do that. But that ends up adding up during the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, I worked in most of the Adobe Suite, and then the newspaper had its own program to design in. So we weren't designing in InDesign or PageMaker or Quark or anything like that. It was a whole separate system you had to learn for that newspaper.
I kind of remember that. I had a few interviews at the Herald, I think it was like in early 2002 or maybe 2005 or something like that. But there was some funny proprietary application they had to build everything in. I don't remember what it was.
It's called Hermes. It is.
Yeah, that's it.
It is awful. It is awful. You can't do all the stuff that you can do in InDesign, you know, and it would take you four extra steps to do things. But I know that they're now slowly moving over to InDesign and that kind of stuff, being a little bit current with the products that are out there.
Yeah, it only took them like 10, 15 years.
Well, you know, everybody's slow to change. You know, there's this new thing called the web, and people read news on it or something. I don't know.
The what?
The web.
I prefer
a superhighway.
Yeah, I prefer a tangible interface made out of paper.
Yeah.
You get that all through the email, right? That's where the web is. It's all through the email. Is that right?
Exactly. About a gopher?
Jonathan has a term that he actually not a term that he coined, but he pointed out that every time that somebody is not comfortable with technology or anything really, it's you add the in front of it. Was that am I saying that right, Jonathan?
You've got it. It's like, are you kids playing that the Xbox? Like, and there's always some adjective or like connective word to it that doesn't make any sense. Like that the Xbox. Like, I mean, like. You don't have to put the in front of it, like it, but it's funny. It's like, are you guys on the pot? Like, I mean, like that's I don't know. You see it in movies, but you also see it like it happens, and especially when you live in this town and there are a lot of old people here, and so that you get it often. And you're like, this is life imitating art, man.
Is your phone on the internet?
Yeah, exactly.
Or they pluralize it, you know, the internet webs.
So talking about going back to like 2004, 2005, the whole economy took a good dookie around 2006, 7. What happened to the paper around there?
Well, newspaper.
And how did that affect you?
Well, you know, newspapers are slow to change, and they weren't keeping up with the web. And so because of that, they started losing a lot of decline in their revenue. A lot of their classified ads moved online, thanks to Craigslist and other free services. So they started seeing less of revenue. And then that's when the corporate stockholders come in and say, hey, we're not making enough money. So we had to do cuts. And pretty much from 2006 till when I left in 2010, we had layoffs. And we laid off about 80% of my department. So the design department took the largest hit. And they just didn't see a need for visual presentation. And, you know, it gets kind of tiring to defend yourself sometimes. But, so we ended up having to lay off 80% of the department, and we kept the same amount of work. So, you know, work started not being fun anymore. It started really sliding downhill. I used to love to come into work and be excited. It, you know, have you ever seen the movie Joe versus the Volcano?
Classic, yeah.
Exactly. You know how he walks in that entrance to walking into work, and his shoe falls off and those fluorescent lights flicker? It was completely like that. Walking into that office was like the fluorescent lights would suck your soul out of you. And so, you know, it became the time I wasn't happy, so it was time to go, you know? So I left.
So it was like Terry Gilliam was the interior designer then, huh?
Yeah.
Jumping off Monty Python's... Oh man, what was some of the movies that he did? Jabberwocky and all that.
Yeah. And then after that, I left, and a lot of people thought I was a little bit nuts because it was a major recession going on, and I left a steady paycheck and health insurance and all that good stuff into the unknown, which I didn't really know what I was going to do, but I knew where I was just wasn't making me happy anymore, and it was just not worth. I needed something different. So I decided to take a risk and put everything into myself, and that's kind of how Rough and Ready started. It was all just a major gamble on, can I make this work?
So how did you start that? What were the first steps? What were your ideas? How did you even come up with the name Rough and Ready? I kind of get it via the context of what we've been talking about, but I don't know if that's exactly what it translates into.
Well, there's a couple different things. I always like to use that, you know, we take things that are rough and we make them ready for Main Street kind of thing.
Ah, I like that.
Yeah.
Ah.
And then there's a rough and ready island that's near Stockton, California. So it reminds me of home a little bit too. So it's got a kind of a double meaning, but when it comes to business, I always tell them, you know, I'm taking your rough product to making it ready for, you know, corporate.
Yeah, that's a good way to communicate.
Yeah. And, you know, I got into websites by accident, sort of. I was kind of meandering around. A friend of mine gave me a tip that a nonprofit was looking for someone to build a website. And I went in and sold them on that I could do it for them. I had no idea what I was doing, but I had some familiarity with WordPress. I knew it from working at the paper, but we always had developers. You know, I would do design work and then developers would do all the magic code part. So I sold them on something I didn't know how to do, and then I made it happen. I studied. I taught myself enough CSS and HTML to get by to make the changes that they needed. And then anything else that needed to be programmed in, I hired freelance developers to kind of help me get over the humps of the areas I didn't know how to do. And from then, you know, once that went out and it was very, they were very happy with it. They gave my name to someone else. And then from then, someone else got my name, and the business really started to grow by word of mouth. And I kept taking on bigger and better projects the more I learned. And I was self-teaching myself how to do all this along the way. And so for the next, I've been in business. This is my 5th year anniversary, and since we made it over the hump of 5 years, and we've slowly picked up new abilities along the way. You know, we're doing websites, and the websites seem to be the bread and butter. More people tend to spend money on websites right now. There's less work for graphic design. I'm a graphic designer by heart. I love to do, you know, flyers and collateral and all that good stuff, but there's not a lot of people don't see a value in paying for that service. So, you know, websites are my bread and butter, but then we added on because we've seen the need in the community for social media marketing, or just setting up Facebook for people, or having them understand how to use Facebook. It's kind of slowly grown out of what I've seen out in the community and what I've been asked to help out with. Pretty much people bring me all sorts of problems, and we take the time to figure it out and help them solve those problems.
Yeah, there's lots of room for graphic design, just it's not print. You brought up another interesting point too, which is educating people on things like Facebook. I saw a commercial the other day for a company that just does Facebook pages. That's it. So what? Like there's definitely a need for people to help people set up a Facebook page. And I don't think anyone should be quick to devalue that need, because people don't either want to take the time to learn something like that, or they just don't feel comfortable with it. They might feel like, oh, you know, my kid does this, but I feel awkward asking them for help, or I just feel inadequate when it comes to things like that online. So there's a lot of potential dollars out there for people to grasp onto if they pursue those kind of things. Meaning education in all realms of the web. And it, just like you said, it's problem solving. Design is essentially problem solving. So being proactive about it and finding those pain points, like building a Facebook page, there's a lot of things you could do with that.
Social media managers can make like $5,000 a month, depending upon what the account is and who the business and what the business is, and so that and what the amount of stuff that they have to do. So it's very viable.
It is, yeah. And a lot of people just don't understand, especially around here, because we're in an older market. They don't understand the value of social media and what it can do for their brand and get their name out there and the attention. I work a lot with nonprofits and small businesses that don't have a large budget, but it's educating them, if they put their money in the right areas, that it can go a lot further. And the nice thing about being online versus like putting print ads in is you can track all your information. You can track your ROI, and then you can show that, hey, you got these kind of numbers, these kind of people, and you can see the increase. It's just, it's a lot of education out there, especially because our older market isn't used to all the new technology out there.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't understand that you could actually have a sheet of metrics with the return on investment on it that you could look at and say, oh, these are real people and real numbers. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing results.
Exactly. And, you know, I still deal with people that don't even have email accounts yet, that they're getting, I have to introduce them to setting up a Gmail account. So there's a wide range of people who get it. And then there's people that just have been left behind and they're trying to catch up right now.
Well, good on them, you know, for keeping the postal service alive. So
yeah, there you go.
What, the Postal Service? What are you talking about? The Postal Service stayed alive because it's the only branch of government that actually makes money. Like, that whole scare about losing, like, that whole scare about losing the Postal Service was because the government took, like, they take so much money from the Postal Service because it is literally the only branch of government that actually makes money. So that was them borrowing against the Postal Service, which is what that whole scare was. Like, no kidding.
Really? Wow, I didn't even know that.
It's crazy.
Yep. Yeah, isn't it fun what government does and how the media spends it? You know what I mean? Like, it's like it's just really odd. Like,
America,
like, we're gonna lose everything. We're gonna lose our gerbs.
We're gonna lose our gerbs. America.
Oh man.
Michelle, are you gonna stay in this part of America? Are you looking to is Florida now your home, or do you ever think, like, oh, maybe I'll go back to Cali?
Oh, I won't.
Do you,
I'm
do
not
you still
going
have
back.
That Toyota Celica and thinking about jumping in there, making the voyage?
Yeah, I'm not going back to Cali. You know, people out here are a lot nicer than out there. They're a little hurt.
If you don't splice in LL Cool J's "I'm Going Back to Cali," I am gonna be so mad at you. It's not even funny.
Like, writing it in the notes in the bottom.
Yep. Yeah. Like, it's like, because the best part about that is like, because you asked if he was going back to Cali. She goes, "No, I'm not going back to Cali." She goes, "Cali, like, no, I don't think so." It's like exactly the way that the song goes. Like, so good.
Right now, Sarasota has been very good to me. You know, I was able to build up a business enough to live off of and support a few other members of a team, and in the middle of a recession. So I love Sarasota for being able to do that and being able to understand the community, but I'm not tied to Sarasota. I can see eventually starting a bureau here and then going to a different location. You know, maybe I go overseas a little bit. Cuba's going to be opening up soon. That would be a great place to check out and do some education and jump in on that. And then,
oh my God, could you imagine how much opportunity there is?
Oh, exactly. Right? You know, and bring in some guest people from Florida. It's a quick little flight over to help educate the community over there as well. So you can do some socially good stuff as well as run a business. So I can definitely see starting up different locations and being able to travel to different places. I just don't like to sit too still for too long, and I've been here for a while now.
Yeah, 5 years, that's a good amount of time.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've been in Sarasota for 10, so I did 5 years at the Tribune, and now I'm
own.
Yeah, but
yeah, that's right. Okay.
You know.
Do you have that itch then? Like, are you starting to feel it?
I do have that itch. I always keep the door open if an opportunity arises, but am I actively seeking out to move? Not yet. I think I want to get the business at a better level before I decide to move to a different place and start something there as well. You know, have the team set up here to handle most things.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a good understanding of the needs in the community as well, and you have a good way to tap that and be able to generate business from it. So
you know, I feel more connected with the community now than I ever did working for the newspaper, which is very weird, because, you know, the newspaper is supposed to be the coverage of the community. Now I'm out talking to nonprofits, working with different groups that are doing really good stuff in the community, and they have a very wide range of what services, you know? So it's, I've grown to love Sarasota even more just by growing Rough and Ready, you know?
Well, because you're so interactive with the community, with the Herald, I imagine you had some level of that, but maybe more delegating those kind of tasks out to other people because you simply had to, because you had a deadline, you had other things that were more imperative at that present moment.
Oh yeah, definitely. That and they, you know, most of the times when you're a designer, you don't get to leave the building. The reporters get to go out, but the designers are pretty much chained to their desk the entire time you walk into the building till you leave because of the deadline structures and everything.
Oh yeah, that's true. That had to be somewhat of a stressful job.
You know, it had its days. There were certain days that, you know, the whole system would go down and you still have to put out a paper and you have to come up with a plan B on how you're going to produce a paper without your operating system. So that could be a little stressful at days.
Yeah, just go walk down to Starbucks, use their Wi-Fi, and just do it on InDesign. Exactly. And you'll probably get it done faster. Exactly.
And it'd probably look better, too.
You know, we have a mutual friend. I was going to ask you about Daniel, because I know you hire resources out to help you with certain things. He was the one that introduced us, and you were talking about his desk, too.
Yeah.
You can't keep those at your location?
No.
Why is that?
It's you know, I haven't even got a chance to use it. He let me borrow one to test one out, and, you know... And my boyfriend ended up taking it for his office, and he uses it. He's a writer, so he loves using it. He stands up all day and writes his articles. He says that it's more efficient for him to get things done, and he loves it. And then I had, then Danny gave me another one, and that one another employee took, and they are using it because they found it very helpful, and they like the standing up part of the whole desk, and then you can pick it up and move it to wherever location that you want to. So if you're sick of your office, you can go out to your back patio and work out there. You know, it's a really handy kind of tool, but I just can't get my hands on it to try it out. I need to chain it to the desk or something, or, you know. But I guess
I wonder if the Rise Up tabletop has a feature to where you could nail it within your desk, or if that's a custom job.
That defeats the mobility. You're gonna have to thumbprint key it to you. Like, it won't open up or anything like that unless it's your actual thumbprint or something. Like, you could do something digital or unlock it with your phone. Like, it's got some sort of like a Bluetooth locking system. Like that only keys to you. Like, that's, you gotta do that.
That's smart.
I love that idea. Yeah.
That's for round 2.0. We'll have to tell him.
Lojack for your desk.
We'll let him know. He's listening.
Dude, they've got Bluetooth in like dice boxes now for D&D, so you can find them. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like,
those are expensive dice sometimes.
I heard that intake of breath. Are we a D&D player, friend?
No, I was just, I was more that you brought up D&D. No.
Oh, are you kidding me? I freaking love D&D. But they've got Bluetooth and everything now, man. It's, you can find it all. So, I mean, there's got to be a way to put it in there. That way, if anybody steals it, you can at least track them down and, like, call them and say you have a particular set of skills and that you're going to, like, you know, use them to murder that person.
I like it. Take them down, or they have to buy a new table themselves.
That would work as well.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about inspiration, because that's always the thing that's always funny. I like to hear what the things are that kind of, like, inspire the people to do kind of the things that they do. You know what I mean? Like, what's the stuff that you do when you disconnect from work? What's the stuff that recharges your batteries?
Wow. You know, I get it from a lot of different places. I really like being outdoors, being out at the beach. You know, that's a good kind of, like, clear your mind and then let whatever comes in area. And, you know, magazines and new technology. I always like seeing what new products are out there. Like, you were talking about the dice with the, you know, the low jack in there so you can find it. That kind of stuff. I always find interesting things. Old 80s movies, you know, I'm an 80s kid, so I like that kind of stuff. Reality. Oh, yeah. Anime.
Have you seen Kung Fury yet?
No, I'm gonna have to check that out.
Okay, listen, it is a new movie. You can get it on Netflix, but it is basically like an old school, like, 80s movie and stuff like that. It is fucking amazing.
It is
fucking amazing. Like, you need to see it. Kung Fury. Now, if Yeah, it's Kung Fury, like Fast and the Furious. Yeah,
I'm gonna definitely check that out.
The guy did it all by himself, and he was like one of the big kind of Hollywood special effects guys, and he did it on a super low budget. To give you an idea, he did it on one green screen, And, like, he replicated a whole police station with all these police in it, and it's all built out digitally. And he only had enough money for one officer costume, so he switched out the people and then filled the room of people digitally with all these different, you know, people at the time. All his effects are amazing. The storyline is amazing. So tongue-in-cheek funny. It's great. I can't say enough good things about that movie.
Yeah, really, really funny.
I know what I'm watching later today.
Yes.
Oh, you totally got to do it. Yeah. Grab a drink, you know, an adult drink, sit down, watch it, and just laugh your ass off. It's so good. Definitely. I think it's like, what, like 40 minutes, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think so. Pretty much. Yeah, worth every minute of it. You will rewatch it.
Yeah, let me put it to you. I'll sum it up in one word, or maybe two words. One name. David Hasselhoff.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I know it's going to be good then. You can't have a good movie it's... with him.
Well, I mean, you're all about the 80s. You know, I'm thinking about Knight Rider and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
So.
Yeah, definitely. And they've already got those kind of watches. I want my car to be attached to my watch nowadays. When is that happening?
Yeah. If you could say Kit and then your Toyota Celica comes up and...
Exactly. That would be perfect. I can jump right in, get going on to my next meeting. It'd be set.
I can't wait until we get AI personalities where, like, we go to buy a car, like, and we actually have to talk to the old car about buying the new car. Like, this is where this takes me. Like, it's like, listen, it's just you're getting older, okay? And it's your seats are worn in, you know what I mean? Like, really just, like, have to have that talk, like, that intelligent talk with your car, and then, like, to see, like, cars getting, like, arrested for vehicular homicide is going to be interesting.
Oh, good. I was hoping for a new driver. I'm sick of hopping the fucking curb. You drive like shit.
But yeah, so we got 80s movies. What else? What else? We got anime. Love and anime. What are you watching right now?
Oh, man. I'm watching, there's a site. It's a random site. It's it has random anime on it. So I'm watching a bunch of weird stuff that I would not ever normally look at. It has a little button that says random anime. And now I can't think of anything. You know, now I can't. I'm going blank of what I want.
Little Black Butler.
That's how you get to scary shit like Clannad. That's how you get into, like, the really, really weird offshoot anime where you're like, it's like the soap, what I like to call, like, soap opera anime.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that out there.
Or, like, you know, what the fuck anime? You're like, what am I really watching? What's going on here?
Yep.
I always like Ghost in the Shell. That's an old, you know, or that's been around for
classic.
A little bit. That's a classic.
How are you feeling about them casting Scarlett as the Major?
I guess I'll wait till I see it to make that judgment. She was good in a few other movies, so maybe she'll do it well, but yeah. I'm not sure.
A lot of people don't know, like, the Major was never supposed to, was never written as Japanese. Like, even, like, the people who came out and are making, like, the guy who did the manga and who did penned the original story was, like, she was never supposed to be Japanese. She's an AI, I mean, for the most part, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. In a way. So it was like, you know, but yeah, I don't know. I think she'll do fine. I mean, she did fine as Black Widow. She's definitely not afraid to get her hands dirty. It'll just be down to, can you pull off that iconic attitude? I'm not, like, unconvinced of her skills. It's like, are you going to be able to pull off the Major? Like, are you really, come on.
Exactly.
That's a big shoes to fill.
Yeah, there's a big fan base too. You're going to let down a lot of people if you don't deliver.
Oh, yeah, yep. Good point. Yeah, she has to be accountable for there.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Parasite?
It's no, never heard of it.
Yeah, yes.
Yes, that's one show that I got into. And then I saw that they have a live-action Parasite with real actors. And
yeah,
that one's pretty interesting. That got me all intrigued into the live-action anime that they've been doing. Like the, what is it, Assassin School or something like that?
Yeah, they did that, and I think they also did live action for all of the Death Notes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they truly did. And it's they CG'd. I can't remember the name of the demon right now. It's really pissing me off. But like they CG'd him in there. But everything else was done. So like all like the stare down stuff with him and Al and all that other stuff is in there. So it's really good.
So it's worth watching.
It's definitely fan service. Oh yeah, are you kidding me? It's complete fan service.
I'm so sorry. This personal complete essay is way harder than I thought. Oh, it's just not in my nature to brag on myself.
Not even a backdoor brag.
What's a backdoor brag?
Sneaking.
That's okay.
Wonderful.
Makes it interesting.
Yeah, I just had a pop-up ad.
Did you hit the random anime button?
Yes, I did, and it started talking. So I'm sorry.
there it is. See, there you go. Whatever random anime website you are, that's it.
That's it.
But. For sure. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing. You know, we get to talk about a whole bunch of like geek and sundry sort of shit, like which makes me happy. And then, you know, we get to talk about you and your journey.
Yep.
Hopefully people hear it and hopefully people hear it and get bold, you know, maybe go in and sell yourself on something you know absolutely nothing on how to do.
Exactly. Growth only occurs outside of your comfort zone, you know.
Yeah, that's right. The only thing consistent is change.
Exactly. Well, thank you guys very much for having me on. And yeah, I really much appreciate it.
Oh, we really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. The Human Torch was denied a bank loan. The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.